Hey, what's up, everybody? I forgot to mention, so I'm going to plug this in before the actual recording of the podcast starts, that this whole episode is on my YouTube channel. So you can watch the YouTube video so you can get a little visual. I pull up my Training Peaks run so that you get to see what I'm actually analyzing. So if you need a deeper dive and a visual, please hop on over to the YouTube link. I've included that in the show notes. So check that out. Okay. And again, if you have any questions, don't hesitate to ask. Hello. Welcome to the Running is Life podcast. This is Coach Aaron Saft, and I'm going to apologize up front. I have an extremely sore throat. I planned on recording this, and I had a great question come in from Drew over Instagram. And I promised I would answer this, so I am going to do so. So again, forgive me for my voice. But Drew's question was, how can he estimate a finish time in a 100-mile race? It sounds like Drew has a 30-hour time limit, and he kind of wants to estimate his finish time, which is a really great question. And it's very difficult to establish that estimated time because there's so many variables within a 100-mile race. So that said, there's a few things that you can do to estimate your time. The first is quite simply look up your results and look at people that were around you. And you're going to have to do a little bit of digging and find runners that are around your finish time or around your percentage that Ultra Sign Up gives us, as wonky as those are, but it is a good metric to understand your level of running versus someone else's level of running when you look at their percentage, their rank, if you will. Okay, they should have a similar amount of results, and they should have, you know, similar finish times in similar events, if not the same events, so that you can compare them. And then hopefully you can look at their finish time from this 100-miler that they did previously. Again, you might have to do a little bit of digging and make sure that the course was the same. But that's one way that you can estimate a finish time. Now, again, you may want to reach out to this runner and say, you know, how did this race go? Is it a legitimate comparison? In other words, do they have a decent race or do they have a really bad race? So you don't just say, well, you know, here's what I'm guessing my finish time is going to be based off of this finish time. So anyway, all that said, do a little bit of homework, a little bit of groundwork, reach out to runners. Okay. Kind of find out how the race went for them. That way you have a comparison. Okay. That's one way to do it. All right. So use Ultra Sign Up as a tool, right, to compare yourself. Okay. That's one way. Now, the next way takes a lot of kind of digging as well. Okay. So each way is going to take a little bit of legwork to do. Okay. This one, you're going to use a comparative effort or race or run on a similar, if not the same course. Okay. So this effort, if you're, you know, looking to find a 100-mile estimated time, should be somewhere in the ballpark of 40 miles to 100K. Okay, that's what we want to use for distance in comparison. Hopefully it's within your build. Okay. So if you haven't done this and it's getting too close, obviously this is not a good way to do it. I would use the Ultra Sign Up way. Okay. So if we're getting really close to race day and you haven't done this, just ignore this one. But what I'm doing is bringing up, this is my Heartbreaker 50-mile data. Okay, this is what I uploaded to Training Peaks. And I've had a few questions while we're talking about that, about, you know, where am I at? And I'll talk about that at the end here. I want to answer Drew's question first. But this is Heartbreaker 50-miler. Okay, this is my data from the race. This is on the Hellbender course. So this is how I used my data to give me kind of a ballpark figure as to what I can anticipate running at Hellbender, given that Hellbender has a nice day, a good day, and I have a good day, right? So this is going to be from my A goal, right? Again, I'd suggest creating a B and a C goal, right? So my A goal is 27 and a half hours, and I'm going to tell you how I arrived at that. My B goal is 30 hours, and my C goal is, well, if I go over 30 hours, I probably just need to stop because I got to get to the kids' state qualifying meet for track. So I'm hoping to achieve my B. I can't do a C. Like most people can just do just finish, right? So whatever the final cutoff is, that's usually your C goal. I don't have that option. Okay, so I'm kind of limited to an A and a B goal. I'm not gonna let it put pressure on me. If the day's not there, the day is not there. I just need to understand that because I need to get to the track meet and be with the kids. So I'd rather sacrifice that and be a part of their day than to finish this and miss them. Because in my mind, I'm already being selfish enough and running Hellbender. So I need to make a little bit of sacrifice as well. So anyhow, this is the heartbreaker. Okay, this was in my build. This was you can see here, Saturday, March 23rd. Okay, race date for Hellbender is May 10th. Okay, so I had plenty of time in between the two. And so a few things here. What we want to do, if you do not have, let's start with that. If you do not have a race that is on the course that you are doing, okay, and you can't go train on that course and do a comparative effort, like a training run, a long training run on that course, what you do want to do is find something that's comparative in elevation gain and loss. Don't forget about the loss part, okay? And what you're going to do to calculate that is you are going to add the total amount of elevation gain plus the total amount of elevation loss, and then divide that number by 100. And again, that is going to give you the average amount of gain and loss over the course. Okay. So, with that said, you're going to want to replicate that in this event. Okay. So, I was fortunate enough, Heartbreaker is on the Hellbender course. So, I have a direct comparison, which is awesome. If you don't, again, you're going to probably have to jump on All Trails or Gaia or CalTopo or any of those mapping apps or online websites that allow you to plot a course to try to find something replicable, right? Something that is in the ballpark of the race you're doing. And perhaps your race is completely flat, which, if it is, that's pretty easy. But if it has a lot of elevation gain, again, take that into account and build that into your course. Make sure it is comparable to what you will be racing to give you a better estimate as to how you did. Okay. Now here, I'm gonna hide the pink and the yellow lines. That's pink is my power, which I don't believe the watch can accurately record, and yellow is my cadence. Okay, so I'm gonna hide those, and I'm just going to show my pace. Okay. Now, perhaps you don't have access to Training Peaks. That's fine. You can create a free account. That's within, there is a free account on Training Peaks. So you can use Training Peaks. The premium adds a few other features, but the free account is great. So you can use Training Peaks. If you don't have Training Peaks and you look back at Strava, you can still use Strava to look at this data. Okay. So, and if you don't have either of those, look at your watches app. So, if you have a Garmin, look at the Garmin Connect. If you have Coros, look at your Coros app. Wherever you can dig into the data, and I suggest looking at it at your on your desktop so you can have it in big expansive view as I have it here. Okay. The only other metric that I hit everything, the only other one that I want to see is elevation gain. Okay. So when we're looking at this data, I want to see the elevation profile, and my pace. Okay. Those are the two variables that we want to see. All right. Now, the next piece is you have to be very good at understanding the effort, right? Now, whether it be that you run off of rating of perceived exertion or RPE, whether you run off of heart rate, you have to understand what your metrics are telling you. Okay. Now, again, I didn't have heart rate on this one. I didn't wear my heart rate strap, so I don't have that data. So here I'm basing this off of my rating of perceived exertion. And then I can also look at my pace. How did my pace do? And that's something we're going to dive into here and talk about what the pace looks like. Okay. So with that said, this was to replicate Hellbender to my best. I didn't want to race this. This was not me going out to race, right? This was me going out to figure out where I'm at in my training so that I knew for Hellbender. Sure, I still wanted to do well, right? But I wasn't focused on what place I was in, how fast I was running. I was focused on my effort. That was the big goal on this, to understand where I was at so I could have a comparable to look back at and say, okay, is my goal realistic to run 27 and a half hours, right? So I confirm that by looking at my data here. All right. So one thing that you can look at is your starting pace versus your finishing pace. Okay. Here, and again, have to kind of compare where you were out on the course. This was we went out a little bit on Forest Service Road, and then we were on a another road slash dirt road till we got to our first climb, which was Snooks. Okay. So you can see we started out a little bit hot, as we always do, right? So running 8:11 pace here. I'm just gonna take a data point. You can see this is kind of high here. Okay. So maybe my median is more like 8:25 to 8:30 pace. We'll just say that's where I started. Now, when I look at the finish, okay, look here. I am still able to manage that even at this low point, 8:38 pace. Okay. So at the start, comparable to the finish, because I was back on Jarrett Creek Road. Okay. That's the nice thing here is I have two comparable points, data points, because of the start and finish were very similar, right? So I'm looking at similar points to compare. And if you can look at similar points near the start and near the finish, that's what we want to do. My paces did not diminish. That means that I was able to finish strong, that I didn't go out too hard and I didn't push too hard during the race. I was still able to sustain the same paces at the end that I was at the beginning. Okay. That's a good sign. That's a really good sign. That's a green flag. That's like you did things right. Okay. If at the end you just notice you're on a steady decline and you don't have major climbs or anything that would warrant that, you have to understand that, oh, I went too hard up front or somewhere in the middle, right? That's what that tells us. Okay. So we're just analyzing the data here and comparing points. Okay. They have to be similar points, like I said. And these are very similar points. So I have a good comparison. Okay. So I know that this worked out well. I did well here. Okay. So my rating of perceived exertion was right where it should be. Right throughout the event, I kept it moderate. I kept it within myself and I yielded the results that I wanted to see. I did not decline. Okay. Now, a lot of these drops in paces, there's some hills, right? So those drops in paces were me just simply hiking. And that's the next component we're going to talk about. Okay. We're going to look at average pace on our climbs because that's going to give you a good indication based on how you were feeling as to what you should be doing for your climbs moving forward. So you know your average pace and you know your RPE on those climbs. Okay. So again, here, this is our climb up Snook's Nose. Okay. And up to the top of Green Knob. Now, this is a massive climb. Okay. Snook's is about 3,000 feet of gain in about 3 miles. That's huge. Right. So if I'm looking at my average pace, I'm about 20-minute pace. Okay. 20-minute pace on the steep portion of this. Now, if I go over to Mount Mitchell, okay, this is our Mount Mitchell climb. Okay, so we're going up Mount Mitchell Trail right here. This is across Buncombe Horse Trail. I'm very familiar and well versed with the trails up there. And then this steep pitch right here, that's Big Tom. That's where I broke my pole. Okay, so anyway, you can kind of see the paces. Okay, as I go here. All right, as we're climbing, there's some faster points, but look, 1828, right? So I'm still climbing, even probably a little bit quicker than I was on Snooks. Now, again, they're not exactly right the same, because they're different climbs, but they're pretty comparable. They're both single track, both have some technicality to them, both have a pretty severe steepness to them. And I'm going pretty good right there. That's two climbs. Okay. And then I pop over here. This is the climb up Salto and up Bald Knob Ridge. Okay. Long final climb. Okay. We're deep into the race now. We're well over 50K into this race. Looking there, 1646 pace. Okay. Now I have to take into account going up Salto is a road. It's a dirt road. Less technical, right? Obviously. Not as steep, but faster. I'm still able to maintain a faster hiking pace going up this, right? So that tells me I wasn't too wiped out. Another good sign, right? I didn't go too hard early on because I was still able to sustain a very good hiking pace. Okay, so all good signs right there. Again, if you're diminishing, right? If your capacity to hike uphill is getting slower and exponentially slower, then that's a red flag. Okay, that's no good. Right? It means you were going too hard too early. So you have to look at those paces early on and say, oh my goodness, I really, I was pushing too hard on the early climbs, which is not what we want to do. Right. In Hellbender, that's my biggest, advice to runners is to take the front half easy. Right. And that goes for any 100 miler. Right. We talk about the saying, waste minutes early to save hours late, right? Because if I'm slower up front, right, just because I want to be conservative, I can either maintain or, as you see right here, I can go faster in the tail end and I'll be passing people and getting, closer to the finish that much quicker, right? So waste minutes early, go slower early to save hours later. We don't want to slow down so much. That's the idea here. Okay, so that's looking at climbs. You can also do the same for descents, just kind of see how you were doing on descents. You can look at the pace in comparison. Did I slow down on descents or did I speed up? Again, they need to be comparable, right? We have to be comparable when we look at these, but that's another factor that you can look at. But the climbs do tell you a big story. Okay, so look at your average pace early versus average pace late on a comparable surface. Look at your climbs. Break your climbs apart. Now, the nice thing about climbs is you can on Training Peaks is that you can actually create a segment here. I can click here, I can drag all the way through the climb, and then you can see I created a new selection, right? So in Training Peaks, I can now have this new data point and I can go down. Oops, I can go down here and I can find my new data point. And with that data point, I can kind of analyze that data. Okay. That's why I kind of like I like Training Peaks, because I can go through and I can look at that segment and get the information on that segment. Okay, so that's that piece. All right, moving on. I've got this, I've got this data, right? I've got this in front of me. I'm looking at this this as a whole now. Okay, I'm looking at a finishing time of roughly, it was almost 51 miles. Let's just call it 11:30, right? It took me 11 hours and 30 minutes to complete, we'll just say a 50-mile run. All right. Now, taking that into consideration, this is not the simple math, okay? Yeah, it's a little rough. I'm saying, okay, if I double that's going to be what, 23 hours, okay? Now, of course, in 100 mile, we do expect to be a little bit slower on the back half. Okay. With Hellbender, it may be that it's slower on the front half because it's heavy loaded with climbing, right? So we may be slower on the front half and hopefully back faster on the back half. But with that said, I don't anticipate that I could sustain 2 11.5 hour efforts. I couldn't do 23 hours. That's kind of that's not what this suggests. Okay, you have to add on a little bit due to the fatigue of 100 miles. You're doubling this, so there is going to be some fatigue, and that's where the 27 and a half hours came in, right? So if I double this, I'm at 23 hours, so I'm giving myself 4.5 additional hours. Okay, that's on the high side. Okay, that's on the high side. I'm being way I'm overestimating. Okay. I'm hoping I can run faster, but the reality is I'm giving myself plenty of time for fatigue in this race. Okay. That's where I bumped up 4.5 hours to say, okay, this is a big window, right? So I have somewhere between, let's just say, 23 hours and 27 and a half hours is what I'm estimating based off of this data. Okay. This went extremely well. I had an extremely good day. Now, the reason I add that much time is because there can be other factors that come into play on race day. And that's what you have to consider. Okay. So, this was an extremely good weather day. It really didn't get that hot. Got a bit more warm towards the end of the day. But when we were up on Mitchell, it was in the 30s. Okay. So, this was actually a pretty cold, nice running weather day. Hellbender could potentially have hot weather. We could see temperatures in the 80s. Okay. I say hot, but we'll say warm weather. And it could be in the 80s during the day here. That is another potential for a slower time. Okay. Because if we're looking at, let's say, 11 a.m. to say 5 p.m., where we're going to be in the 80s, that's going to slow pace down. Right. So that's where that big expansive 4.5 hours came from, is I have to factor in that. Now, if you've done your run, your 40 to 100K run, and it was in cooler temps, consider the weather, consider humidity, right? Humidity can be higher. That can also play. Okay. Now, if you did this at a lower altitude and you're racing at a higher altitude, another factor to consider, a slowdown factor, add time. How much time? It depends. Depends on how high you're going in altitude, right? There, unfortunately, there's no equation. There's no equation to plug in and say, well, I'm going this much higher, how much slower per mile? There isn't one. Just know that you're going to have to add on some time, unless you have the time to get out there early and hopefully acclimate a bit more so that it doesn't slow you down as much. Okay. But if you are not able to go out there and acclimate, figure on adding a little bit of time as well. So there's those external factors. Consider those. Okay. Then what you have to do, okay, is assess your overall training. How has your overall training gone? How much in compliance are you for the overall plan? Okay. If you're 85% compliant, in other words, if you've got in 85% of the work that you had hoped, you're in good shape. I would say, if your goal is, as mine, then hey, you're probably going to be okay training wise. Anything can happen on race day, right? But training wise, you're okay. If you are less than that, let's say you're 75%, you should probably add on a little bit of time to what you're expecting. Okay. That's just the reality. We want to make sure that we're not overestimating our ability, right? So another thing to consider, your percent of compliance. Okay. So take that into consideration as well. Okay. And then, what else can I say, Drew? Hopefully that gives you a really good overview of how to look at and predict your 100-mile time. Okay. It's certainly not an exact science in either case. Remember, there's the ultra sign up way to do it. Then there's looking at your data. Okay. It's if you have a friend, a coach, someone that can look through it with you, that's fantastic. Okay. It really is worth the analysis to kind of say, is this realistic? Okay. But unfortunately, there's no tried and true way to say this is an exact science and this is what I can anticipate, especially with a 100-miler. But this should give you a rough estimate as to, okay, I can expect this time, to tell my crew, my pacers, and then you can use Ultra Pacer to kind of come up with a guideline as to, okay, so I should be coming through these aid stations roughly at about this time. Okay. So use the tools that are out there to, to not only create routes, but to analyze the routes. Because you can actually, I have, I had a plan for Ultra Pacer. I can now take this data plug it back into UltraPacer and see how did it go according to the UltraPacer plan. You can also analyze and compare that. And that's probably a whole nother podcast. But, I think this should give you a good idea of how to look at your data and assess where you're at and what to expect for your 100 miler. Okay. I really hope that helped, Drew. If you have further questions, don't hesitate to ask. It was a great question and I appreciate you asking. All right, let's move on here. Other things that are going on. Tomorrow I will be interviewing Tim Nooney. Tim was just on the Adventure Jogger podcast, kind of funny timing. We seem to have similar timelines on our guests, but Tim and I are going to talk about being a professional runner and how does that compare to when I started. Tim is with La Sportiva. La Sportiva was my first sponsor. So we're going to talk about, what it looked like then and what it looks like now. And then he has another topic that's of pretty cool interest. I wasn't familiar with the trail of which he spoke, but we're going to speak on a trail out west and see if that's something that would, maybe work here in the east. So some pretty cool stuff we're going to talk about with Tim. I've continued to reach out to the Forest Service. I want to talk about user trails, user trails being ones that weren't created by the Forest Service, but we use ourselves because somebody went out there and built them on their own without Forest Service approval. So I'm going to talk about the impact that can have and why the forest is trying to crack down on it. Okay. So stay tuned for that. So some good stuff coming up. Getting on to my personal training, I've had a number of questions about, am I okay? I'm fine. I'm fine. Other than this sore throat. As I described a few episodes ago, I really just got tired of wearing a watch and being confined to metrics. You can see I'm not wearing my watch. I haven't been wearing my watch, and that's why you haven't seen anything on Strava. It's not that I don't want to share my training. That's not the case. I just want to enjoy my running, and I was really becoming burdened by having a watch on. I talked about that a few episodes ago, and I've just really been enjoying my running again. I just go out for a run and just listen to my body, go out for a non-specified amount of time. I may just say, hey, I want to go out and run this loop today. And that's what I do. And I'm like, well, I've got to this point, kind of feel like I'm done, so I'm gonna head back. And so it's been great. I just kind of wanted to get back to enjoying my running without, looking at the metrics all the time. I actually downgraded my Training Peaks account. It was about to renew, and I figured I just don't need to be to diving deep into the metrics, especially since I'm really not even tracking them. So it's not that I haven't been training. I've been training. I've been running. I've been having fun. I've been doing good. Everything is still full bore for Hellbender. So I appreciate you guys asking. There's no injuries. My ankle's okay. It's not 100%. I'm working on it though. Will France, the strength coach, sent me a kind of a regimen to help, with the ankle. So I'm working on the ankle and I'm still out there running. I've also kind of just recognized that in the spring, it's just really tough for me to put in a lot of time out there because the high school is just really, really busy. We race a lot. We had such great results this past Saturday at the Carolina Distance Carnival. The kids did amazing. We had so many PRs in the 800 and the mile. And we had one of our guys race the 2 mile. He ended up winning the elite heat. There was only one heat of 20 people they took for the meet, and he ended up winning and setting a huge PR. My son set a PR in the 800, broke 2 minutes for the first time in the 800. Like I said, it was just a great meet. And but we were there. We left at 8:30 in the morning, and I didn't get home to my house until 3 a.m. So it's a lot, and it's a big commitment, but these kids are worth it. And I'm just putting my priorities towards them and not myself right now. And that's the way it is. I'm enjoying it. I don't feel bad about it. And that's why I just enjoy just going out for a run, whatever it may be, however much I can get in. So that's just where life is right now. And I'm enjoying that fact. I'm enjoying the, being out there, coaching, and it's so rewarding, to see these kids when they PR. So, I'm going to keep working on that. The registration for the Flight of the Falcon, the 24-hour event that we're hosting at the West Henderson High School track, is open on Ultra Signup. I will put a link in the show notes. We're only taking 25 spots. So, I'm hoping people will come out. We're just asking for, on top of the registration fee, people to raise $250. And come out and support the program. The kids will be out there running. It's really going towards a good cause. These kids have no locker room, nowhere to store their stuff, nowhere to get changed other than in the restrooms, and then they leave their stuff outside, which is just, it doesn't seem right to me. So I'm working on trying to get them a building. So that's what we're working towards. That's what we're raising funds towards. That's what this event is going towards. So it's for a good cause. And if you can't make it, it's August 3rd. Yeah, please share the event. Get it out there for me. I really appreciate any support you can throw this way. As soon as we have the donation links up, if you're in the place to donate, I'll put that link up in the show notes as well. And I'm going to keep pushing it out on social media, so you'll find the information there. But it's called Flight of the Falcon. It's on Ultra Sign Up. And I really hope some folks can make it. So thank you for being a part of all of this. I really enjoyed it. It was great meeting people at the Asheville Trail Film Festival on Sunday. Really got to see so many people. It was such a nice event. Tara Pruitt did amazing. We had her on and we talked about the film festival. It came to life Sunday and it was wonderful. Some wonderful, wonderful films. Hit home too. There was two films. One was on Western States, which was incredible. And the other was on Leadville. And both were, I was getting emotional because it brought back a lot of memories. Pretty cool. So, I hope you get to enjoy the film festival wherever you are. And if you have questions like Drew, please drop me a line, however you want to communicate to me. All my communications, ways of communicating with me are in the show notes. I have a few spots that opened up for coaching. So if it's something you're interested in, please reach out and we'll discuss whether we're a good fit and see if you want to move forward with coaching. So a few spots are open for that. Other than that, though, I know that's a lot going on, but I hope your training goes well. And as always, if you have questions about anything, just reach out. Okay. I appreciate your time. I appreciate you listening, being a part of the podcast. As always, I appreciate the Patreon support to help me keep doing this. And until next time, my friends, keep moving forward. Running is life.